You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC's match with Chorley from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be hearing all about FC United v Chorley from Saturday, but before that it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news with a big thank you as the FC United Development Fund has gone through the £67,000 mark with over £5,000 raised in the last week. A sterling effort and a big thank you to all. In other news, FC United are through to the Frank Hanna Manchester Premier Cup final for the first time after beating West Didsbury and Chorley 7-1 at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night. FC United will meet the winners at the Stalybridge v Salford semi-final, which takes place on Tuesday. The final venue will be confirmed following this other semi-final. And speaking of semi-finals, and a big congratulations to the FC United's women's team, who are through to the semi-finals of the Argyle Cup following a 3-2 victory away at Preston's Sir Tom Finney FC. Here's Neil Boothman shortly after the final whistle.
Right, I'm here with head coach Luke Pobor and central defender Chelsea Patient. We got a victory, although it last gasp effort by them looked like they were might be pushing us, but we got the cup win.
Yeah, we managed to obviously get there in the end. I mean, tough conditions today. You know, the pitch was really sort of sticky, the wind was really high. We battled throughout, and I think they got the rub of the green most of the time. You look at their two goals, I think they probably only had three shots on target and scored two of them. Obviously we created a lot of chances, but we didn't take them. But like I say, the conditions played a big part in the game today. But we'll come away with into the next round, and like I say, we're happy we got there.
Yeah, it's certainly not the sort of pitch that you'd want to play on every week, and it's very open. Did you find that a bit troublesome playing on that bobbly pitch there, Chelsea?
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult today, definitely with the bobbles. But I thought we dealt with it well, and I think as well with the wind as well, that was difficult. We was better on second half, I think, when we didn't have it. It was a lot more easier.
Yeah, it looked like there was pretty big game of two halves type of weather, but it was fairly even all the way through. But we kept plugging away, and we must have a lot of chances on net. I think we can be happy with the work rate today.
Yeah, definitely. It was always going to be a game today, really, to work hard, and the team who works hardest was probably the one who was going to win, and I thought we did work harder than them over the 90 minutes. But, we are creating opportunities, which is good. It's just at the moment we're not putting all of them in the back of the net, so that's something we can work on. But at the end of the day, if we're creating opportunities, that's sort of the hardest part. So we can be happy in that sense, and it's another 25-30 shots we've had today, so on another day one might go in.
Yeah, so that puts us in the semi-final, and we're in another cup match next week against Lee RMI away. That's in the Manchester FA. That should be another interesting match. We beat them 5-0 a couple of years ago. We could only hope for something similar again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chelsea obviously must have played you play against them last time.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Lee myself, but we'll prepare ourselves on Wednesday as we do for every game. We'll set up in the way that we're going to set up, and I think all the players today have put a really good shift in, so I'm happy with it.
Neil Boothman there speaking with FC United manager Luke Podmore and defender Chelsea Patient following FC United women's team success in the Argyle Cup against Sir Tom Finney FC. We'll have more news on who FC will have in the semi-finals in the coming weeks, but just staying with the women's team, and this coming Sunday FC United have another cup quarter-final as FC travel west to take on Lee RMI in the quarter-finals of the County Cup. The address for the ground is the Lee Sports Village Village, Sailway, Lee, WN7, 4GX. Kickoff on Sunday will be at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lee Sharp and you're listening to FCUM Radio.
From the women's team to the men's team now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted promotion chasing Chorley at Broadhurst Park in the league. To find out how the Reds got on, it's over to the FC Live team now to find out.
So hello everyone and welcome to Broadhurst Park. It's just coming up to 2:30 and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Woodzo to give you the team news. And,
Okay.
No, well, I'm doing it. You're just here.
Are we live, by the way? Are we recording?
No, it's all pre-recorded.
Oh, okay.
It's on This Club Is My Club. It's an interesting lineup from Marge. Obviously, Basso's in goal. Let's just deal with Basso for a second or two. The saves he did on Tuesday and throughout his tenure in the last month or so, I think he's earned his place, really.
Definitely. Yeah, he can't... I don't think you can replace him. I spotted Mr. Carnell on Tuesday. He didn't look happy, shall we say, but understandably so, because he's not in the side. And if he's fit, then... He would expect to, but no, I agree, Adriano is at the moment in his place. I mean, most of the saves on Tuesday, they were good saves. I'd expect, apart from that mad reaction tip thing from the header, I'd have expected him to have saved most of those. But yes, I'm with you on that one, Ben. I know where you're going to next in a second, but this might take to half time if we go through each player, though. That's a problem.
Let's go to where I'm going to go next. You know where I'm going to go
next. I know exactly where
you're
going to
go. I'm going to go to the fullbacks.
You are.
Chandler's playing left back. Dale Tong's playing right back.
He is.
And I'd just like to put on record, Dale Tong's a cracking player. A wise old head on his shoulders, knows the game inside and out. My point is, though, I just feel Jake Williams offers more finesse and
a lot of
something more on the right
side. A lot of people are saying that. I think he offers more going forward, I think, in an attacking capacity. I agree with you. Obviously, Marge is sticking in certain points to experience. You wouldn't find me completely disagreeing with you entirely, of course. So, but I don't know. I agree with you, but I also see why he's sticking with the back five at the moment. Seems to be picking itself, rightly or wrongly.
Well, the back four is complete here with Scott Kate and Luke Ashworth. Now, Sam Margie's done a little preview. Margie's done a little preview on the website on Friday, which is very helpful. And it's about Sam Baird. Obviously, Baird's picked up an injury, but Burnley are also looking at him.
They are.
And
rather strongly, from what I can gather.
Yes, and rightfully so, to be fair. He is a very exciting prospect. Every manager at this level who we've spoken to all says the same thing. He was your number six. He's amazing.
And when you say it's Luke Ashworth, you don't want him. No.
And when you say he's only 17, they go,
yeah, exactly.
Limer.
Thing is, we've said all along in the past 11 years, and we've had it with a few players now, haven't we, that if we get young players in and they get scouted, you know what? We can be a window. We can't stop lads. I wouldn't want us to. And if it's a detriment of our side, unfortunately, that's football. I would not. If and when Burnley do come knocking with something more concrete, I'd be upset if we blocked it just for the sake of it.
I don't think we can block it. That's
well,
the thing.
I know he's not under contract because of his age. I don't know if there's something that can be done with regards to because he's that age and we can come up to an agreement. I don't know. Maybe a future sell-on clause. That's me thinking out loud. I don't even know if they're under any liberty to discuss. They might just turn and say we want him tough and we wave him off over the horizon. He's not gone anywhere yet, so it's speculation. But, and it's the same. It's going to be the same with Kieran Glynn, possibly with Gilchrist, possibly with Lowe. These are lads who have come either through our youth team or from a college or...
Well, this is how it works.
From Burnley. So it works.
These young lads
get released. And, the Metal League clubs are here today. It's just frightening.
Now, this is the direction of travel as well in non-league football. We're hearing about players taking the jump. It's probably the Jamie Vardy effect, to be fair.
Does that as
from
well,
years
yeah,
ago.
Is, yeah.
But now more scouts are coming down to this level, down to the NPL, and they're looking around, and there's lots of players who are making that jump up to not just the Football League, but to the Premier Division as well. It's cracking stuff.
Well, look at Che Adams. He scored that cracker against us, against Ilkeston a couple of years ago, and next thing, he's scoring in League Cup semi-finals against Spurs. And for Sheffield United, so...
And this is how it works. This is how it works as well. I mean, we've been told for a long time that the step up from reserve, youth player to reserve to first team, is a big step. But it transpires that if you surround the players with experienced players, if the quality, it will shine through.
And they
won't have to be too daunting.
It probably is a big jump. But there's going to be players who are good enough to make the jump. Of course there is. There's no point in having such sides. And... you know, I mean, we were talking about our friend from Hyde last week. But, yeah, we can't stop walking in front of anybody if they want to move on or progress to a football league side. And I do not want us to do that, because I don't want to be known as we're stifling a lad's development for our own purely selfish reasons.
We want to
what we've then got to do is you let Bird move on. You find the next one. You find the next Sam Bird.
We don't want to be Crewe, and we certainly don't want to be Ilkeston, but we do want to be a club that has a proud tradition of getting players from local Sunday league clubs, from junior football, like Moston Juniors, for example, develops them, gets them into the academy, gets them into the U team, gets them into reserves, gets them here, and then springboards them on.
Absolutely.
And unlike Ilkeston, we're not tied down to that principle. It means that we can also develop on the field as well.
Correct.
And move up the leagues eventually when everything else off
I
the know, pitch
I fully is agree with that. I fully agree with that, Ben. I can't argue with any of that. I think it's a fair comment. And let's see how it transpires, shall we?
Now, today, George Thompson has a tight calf. Didn't know he was a farmer.
Very good. I was sort of thinking of a gag myself then. Yeah. Well, that's quite good, though.
So Wolf is coming to the team. I think Wolf will be playing attacking right, won't he, with Gilchrist through the middle and Jerome Wright on the left.
Wright on the left.
Thanks. But we should say Wolfie obviously scored a hat-trick. I think that's the fastest hat-trick ever scored by an FC United player.
Didn't we have that in the first half as well?
Gilchrist scored the fastest hat-trick
from the kick-off.
Wolfie scored the fastest hat-trick ever.
Well,
FC.
He scored 2.5 goals, because you could argue
it was going
third
in.
One was an open.
It was going in.
And Nathan Lowe's in.
And Nathan Lowe's
he's
in.
He's been gone
now,
too long.
In midfield.
Well, that's Nathan Jones.
In midfield, we've got Tom Brown, we've got Tarry Winter, and we've got Nathan Lowe. Nathan Lowe, for me, is an enigma. And my view about Nathan Lowe is he's a player with superb ability. But sometimes his concentration can go a bit. I can think of Harrogate.
Worcester was the big one the other week.
Yes.
He's a great player. He's a good player. Of course he is.
And actually, we speak of Burnley. He's from that
With Gilchrist, they came together. Some people I've seen it mentioned, and there's probably a school of thought in this, that he's probably better not starting. He's a better as an impact sub. Coming off the bench, he scored that goal. He claims that goal against Stockport, but I think Dale Johnson might have the final say on that one. By coming off the bench and hit, you know, and his best performances have been off the bench. So,
and on we'll the substitutes bench today, we've got Sam Sheridan, Gareth Arneson, Kieran Glynn, Greg Wilkinson, and Jake Williams.
Hello, he's not. Hang on a minute.
Hello, Swampy.
You've got all afternoon, Swampy. I'm only here for 5 minutes. I'm just saying. Carry on.
I was about to concur and agree with everything.
You stay here, my friend. You agree with me.
We started FC Live with that commentary from a couple of years ago from Gig Lane, the 2-2 draw, if you remember, where Charlie were 2-0, went down to 10 men, and it just didn't look like FC were ever going to score. And then I think it was Tom Davis, I think, scored an absolute wonder strike. And
that sounds about right.
We played the commentary. It was Swampy and Brian. We've had some cracking games over the years against Charlie. And
lots of red cards.
And lots of red cards. Yeah.
Nine red cards.
Nine, is it?
Yeah, nine red cards. It's actually the biggest, the fixture with the more red cards between the two clubs than any other team that FC play against. I think Charlie have had 5 red cards and FC have had 4 in the past. I think the last one was Jerome Wright, wasn't it, away from home.
That's right, at the start of last season, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny team, Charlie, this year. I was talking to one of their board members that I know, or he's involved anyway. You look at their scoring and conceding record, we've scored more goals than them, but they've only let in 21. 3 against us on the first day of the season, and 3 against Darlington soon after.
Yeah,
so 6 of those 21 have come in 2 games.
They certainly don't concede, do they?
But they haven't got many goals scored. They haven't got a goal scorer. I mean, Carver is a decent player, he's not a goal scorer.
They're very, very stubborn at the back, aren't they? They set themselves up very well, and it's going to be.
The form for Charlie, though, it is a bit patchy of late. It is draws here, losses here, wins there.
They're up there in what, fourth, are they fifth?
Yep,
third, fourth, whatever they are. So, I mean, they're obviously doing enough to keep up there. We've had good games against them, you know, we've had good results, we've had bad results. I put today's game, and you know, I think we say it's every Saturday now. Depending on which FC turn up, if the good FC turn up, we can very easily get 3 points. The bad FC turn up, we could be a 3 or 4 nil. It's just, you know.
That's my point, though.
We could win 3 points.
If we're going to get 3 points in this game, it's going to be very tight, it's going to be very tense, it's going to be very cagey.
Yeah, 10-0, Ben, though.
Very, what's the word looking for? Combative.
We just invented a word, but well done.
You have, yeah.
But it's a good word.
Well, it fits, even though it doesn't actually exist.
We all knew what I meant, though.
Well, only because it's a word that you can't pronounce. It's got combat at the start of it.
There you go. Anyway,
we were talking earlier on, and you said my son's got a load of layers on. I went, what? He's got six layers on. I went, what?
Well, like dragon's layers. Or, yeah.
he meant layers.
Well, it's that Charlton Didsbury twang. He still got it from Tuesday night.
Steve, what's your prediction then for this game before you go?
2-2.
Oh,
everyone says 2-2.
We've all said 2-2. We were interviewed earlier on for a little blog that an FC supporter does, and we both said 2 apiece.
So. Oh, right, absolutely. Yeah,
quick question for you, though. I mean,
velocity, that's a quick word, isn't it?
It is indeed. FC United on Tuesday warmed up at the on the training pitch.
I'm doing it today.
And they're doing it again today. Yeah. Do you know any reason behind that?
I think Graham doesn't want anybody at the minute ideally warming up on the pitch. If it, last Saturday, both teams were Salzburg.
So that's the only reason, do you
think? Because I was done in the tunnel before, and Daz said to Graham, we're doing you a favour, we're going on the 3G. I don't think he wants a pitch ripping up at this moment. Presumably Charlie didn't get the memo.
So, Steve, thank you for joining us, mate.
Always a pleasure, blah, blah.
We'll probably hear from you at half time.
It always depends on the first half goals. If I'm happy, I go for a walk, and I see if I'm a bit sulking or cold, I go for a brew instead.
So that's why we don't see him that often.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
The back defending now are... the visitors trying to play out from the back, and they've given the ball away. Jerome, right, good pressing there, plays it to Winter. Winter back to right, outside the penalty area about a yard. He's in the penalty area now, gets to the byline, comes across as Graham. Oh, yeah. A goal! A tremendous goal! Gilchrist, and it was all Jerome Wright again. Good pressure from the goal kick. They didn't want to play it long, the visitors. They want to play it out. They gave the ball away. Wright capitalised upon it. A 1-2 down the left hand side, past Teague. Pace quarter in Panache. He drilled it in, similar to what he did on Tuesday. And there was Gilchrist poaching at the back post. And FC United on 7 minutes. It takes the lead 1-0 here. I was about to say Gig Lane, but it's Broadhurst Park.
Yeah, fantastic bit of football. You know, well worked, well won back by Jerome. They'll be kicking themselves there, surely. A mistake, not a great clearance at all, but well capitalised on, well created, a fantastic ball in, and Gilchrist in the right place.
Well, your overall thoughts on the first 25 minutes, Emily?
Yeah, it's opened up to being a great game of football for either side, but I think FC have certainly edged it, and when they bring the ball forward, they've just got a little bit more purpose about them, a little bit more of an understanding of, you know, working as a team, as a unit, playing it through the midfield. Whereas I think Chorley just looking for that quick, get it sent forward, as you know, long balls.
Well, here comes Gilchrist into the penalty area now. Gilchrist an opportunity, left footed, great save by the goalkeeper. Goal! Well, we were just choking. It was patient build up, patient play. Three or four passes, the ball over to Gilchrist. Again, Teague was in no man's land. He went past him. He got the shot away, left foot, to the keeper just parried it. And there was Matty Wolford doing exactly what Gilchrist has done, what he does best. Slips it into the back of the net. And FC United, on 26 minutes, take a two-goal lead. And again, well, the players from Chorley looking at each other. Teague's having a chat to his own centre-half, Scott Leader there. They're all debating whose job it was to pick the player up, but unfortunately it makes no difference because FC United now in a two-goal lead here at Broadhurst Park. And again, I was about to say, I'm watching what I believe to be some of the best simple football FC are playing, and for the first time in a long time they're playing football that we're not sure what they're going to do, because we always know it can be quite obvious what they're going to do. Today, yeah, Everything's been simple but quality, and they're actually, it's a little bit unpredictable, which is excellent from FC.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. You can see it in them that every touch that they've got, they're wondering what they're going
to
do.
Well, the mistake again has been made, and Jerome right now, can he get to the byline? Yes, he can with the ball, and perhaps he should have let that go out for a corner, but he decided to try and play the ball in first time. But we get the throw in, and the throw in is taken. Well, I thought it was about to be taken quickly, but it's not 45 minutes on the clock. Jerome Wright now plays it to Chandler. Chandler 1-2 with Wright. Wright nearly forgets the ball. Goes past one, goes past two, plays it outside, out to low. Low, shooting range. First time shot comes in. What a goal. What an absolute glorious goal. He set himself tremendously well. First touch. I'll have a look at this. 25, 27 yards out. Launched it low. Hard into the bottom left-hand corner. And that is quality from a quality player who Ben doesn't believe should have been starting today.
absolutely fantastic. You know, well built up there, Jerome Wright. nice fancy feet to take on the players. Like you say, he set himself up as soon as he took a touch. You know, he was on his own. He's let the ball bounce up in the air and he's hit a sweet shot bottom corner. The keeper had no chance.
I think once he had it in that position, I just thought,
I knew that was,
you know,
going,
I mean, yeah. I've not seen a great deal of him because he's not played a huge amount, but that was absolute quality. As Wolfenden was knocked off the ball there, but here come the visitors. There's a minute of additional time. 3-0 to FC United Manchester.
The teams are now back out onto the pitch. We're waiting for the second half to go. What do you reckon then, Swampy? I mean, I said in half-time punditry work there that it's kind of inevitable we're going to concede a goal in the first 5 minutes because we normally do. But wouldn't it be amazing if we didn't and actually we scored a fourth?
Well, the thing to bear in mind is that Chorley have to change things dramatically. They're about to make a substitution and they're going to bring on Robbie McDade and Andy Teague's the man that's gone off. So they're going to have to, I think they're going to go back to a flat back four. They're going to have to get a real impetus into the game early on, our Chorley. However, saying that, FC United, they keep the tempo, they keep the work rate, you know, there's no reason why we can't go on with this game by, you know, an additional one or two more, because that, as I say, for the first 45 minutes is probably the most complete performance from FC United for a long, long time. I think everything about it was what Carl had been looking for. You know, that performance, that first 45 minutes, is championship performance. Emily.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was great to watch, and it was everywhere as well. It wasn't just, you know, isolated in one or two positions or, you know, one or two players. It's every single player out there is working at the same rate, with the same attitude, with the same purpose.
On the same wavelength as well, which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just really, you know, how compact they are. You know, I mentioned the midfield three of Brown, Lowe and Winter. You can see that they're working together as a unit. You know, they've got triangles. Once one goes forward, it's like they're all moving together. But it's so important that we keep up from that first half performance and don't let Chorley back in.
Well, the work rate's not in question. The quality's not been in question so far from FC United this afternoon. They are backtrack defending already in this opening few seconds. And it's the substitute on the ball. McGain into the penalty area. The ball comes across. Opportunity, first half shot comes in. Goal. Commentating curse, if you ever heard one there, down at this side. And then the ball played in. And it was a number 10. I think it was Jack Sampson who got the finishing touch. And that's the way to... What's all that from there? He celebrated the number 10 there, Jack Simpson, celebrating with the 15 there. But wow, well, that was interesting.
Yeah,
game on.
Well, that is. That's exactly what we did not want to happen.
Well, I don't think even that three quarters of the visiting dignitaries from Chorley actually saw that again. They're all walking back. But good ball across. It shows you get down the byline, you put a decent ball in, you get an opportunity. 3-1. Well, Chorley certainly more up for it in the second half. Completely outplayed in the first 45. Still losing the game by 3-1 as the ball picked up now. Bill Beasley. Beasley inside to Blakeman. Blakeman back to the number six, Stephen Jordan. Back to Beasley. But well played from FC United and Manchester's Brown. But he gives the ball back on the halfway line. Picked up by Scott Leather. Leather chips the ball into the penalty area again. Needs to be dealt with by the head of FC United's Tong. First ball falls kindly for a yellow shirt. Shot comes away. 3-2. And it's a substitute who has made all the difference since he's come on. And
Robbie
McKay.
The changes that they've made, you know, they've altered the back four now. And he's come on and he's really given them, you know, galvanised them, given them some extra energy. The work rate that they've had, they've unsettled FC to start off with. But, you know, it's still early in the game. But it's not the start that FC United would have wanted, but a fantastic start from Chorley.
Well, FC United haven't really got into the game. Chorley started off in the first 8 to 10 minutes of the opening 45 minutes in a similar vein, but without any goals. Now they've come out second half. We've played the long ball over the top, trying to get pressure on FC United and Manchester, and they scored two. That was a well-taken shot. And FC United just need to, again, just compose themselves, just make sure that they are resolute in the work that they're doing. So, 42 minutes on the clock here. FC United have to hang on for 3 minutes plus an additional time. And it's a goalkeeper takes the ball long. Brennigan over the halfway line. missed by Winter. Second ball by Tong needs to be won, and Tong's done well there, but equal that, Carver's done even better and forces Tong into a corner. It's going to be the number 7 to take it, Blakeman now. Left footed, swings the ball out. Everybody has to be on the metal here. Towards the back post, the ball goes. Ashworth wins the first header. Kerriglou wins the second header. The ball forced caught kindly at the back post, though, and now it's Blakeman again. Blakeman drills it. Jerome Knight there defending. Throw into the visitors. Well, FC United holding out here. The ball into the penalty area again. Tong heads it, but only back still into the penalty area. It's headed back by Carver to the number 7, Blakeman. Jerome Wright there trying to win the first ball. Strong challenge there by Jerome Wright. And a fair one, the referee says. And FC can clear the lines. It's a ball played up by Sherrington. And it's dealt with comfortably by the visitors. In their own half, though, but they'll launch it straight back in. Towards the right-hand side they'll go. And it's a header that should be dealt with and picked up with by FC United and Manchester's Basso. And, well...
Is he kicked out there?
The player's kicked out. Basso's punched his leg away from him on the floor. And now we're going to have to see what the assistant referee does and what the referee has seen. And, well, the assistant has seen one thing.
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting to see, does this game go into its 10th red card?
Let's see. It was a good bit of play, that, from Chula. Nice ball, well, you know, fired wide. Basso did really well.
I've got a sneaky feeling, though, that there's going to be some form of retribution to Basso here, because although Basso's on the floor, and he didn't
actually touch him, though, I don't think.
No, I know, but I think he's going up to Basso, and I think he's going to give him a red card. Yeah, and he has done. And he's given FC United's goalkeeper a red card. And Basso, the Brazilian, is going over to the assistant referee, and he's having a word with him. And he needs to get off the pitch, unfortunately, because the ball came out, he gathered, yeah, and a foot came in, and he's hit.
He's kicked out. He's the player's kicked out him, and he's put his hand there. And what's happening with the...
Ashworth, for me, is the man who'll have to go in goals.
Yeah, he'll have to.
Well, it's all happening here. I mean, the only thing that might save us here now is that we're in the 45th minute. But how many minutes the referee's going to... How many minutes the referee's going to add on? I don't know. Well, you'll be able to see.
They're all fighting over who's going in goal down here. He's quite good. It's Sheridan.
Sam Sheridan's going in goals.
Well, Winter took the gloves initially. Kieran Glynn was pointing at himself, asking, do you want me to go?
He's given a penalty. As you know, he's given a free kick. He has given a free kick.
He's given a free kick.
A free kick to FC United of Manchester. Now Chorley on this near left-hand side. It's with Beasley. And Winter, back defending, concedes a free kick. And the final substitution for the visitors, and it's going to be Adam Roscoe. We are into the fifth minute, Ben, but I think that fifth minute also hasn't included about three of them, unfortunately. Well, can FC hang on? Can they hang on? Adam Roscoe. It's going to be... Adam Blakeman on this near touchline, chips the ball towards the back post. It's a great ball in. It's a goal. It's three apiece. There's nothing they can do there, to be honest. Nothing they can do at all. And three all. And a game of 2 hours, hugely the sending off there of Basso. For that situation, Basso might come and claim that. There's no way.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing he can do. There's no expectation there. As soon as the free kick was given, you knew that the opportunity of getting the ball in the box. It was a good and right on the last kick of the game. Well, disappointing, really devastating stuff from an FC perspective. First half performance was out of this world. But yeah. Dick, he doesn't need to be involved in that, does he? I think fair play there.
The goalkeeper...
He doesn't need to do that. And well done to the staff that have gone over to get him and bring him away. But, you know, a great second half from Chorley. They came out fighting and they got the two goals ahead. I think FC would have been, you know, well worth the 3 points today. They've put in a great performance. Just not... enough at the end. like you say, the sending off was key in terms of being reduced to 10 men for the last five, and having to defend a set piece right on the death when you haven't got a recognised goalkeeper to come out and help your defence to claim it. The positive things, though, we've got to look at them, and we've got to look at FC's performance and how they worked. They'll be absolutely devastated to have not held out for the full 3 points. But we've had some great, individual as well as team performances in there. A lot to learn still, how to keep ahead. You go three goals ahead, and what you need to do to make sure you keep that sort of a lead.
I think you're right, in fairness. We've only got 2 minutes of this broadcast left. You've never heard the true word said, a game of two halves. FC United and Manchester in the first half, playing sublime, absolute quality football. The best I've seen FC play for a long, 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 long time. And three goals up, and quite rightly so. They were absolutely outstanding for the first 45 minutes of the game. Second half, well, we thought we'd surely change it around, and surely have changed it around. They did exactly what we did to them in the first 45. They came straight out of the blocks, and they got a really early goal within 30 seconds. And then within a matter of 10 minutes, they were 3-2. And then FC had really hung on for quite large parts of that second half. And the key and the killer for FC United was Adrian Basso being sent off for what looked like initially he was a foot left in on him late, and he's punched the foot of the player. I mean, there's no physical contact in the face or anything like that. No. He's on the floor. He's punched the foot.
He was just pushing it away because there was a clear kick out. He's come to claim, and he's done well to come and claim the ball.
And as soon as he does that, I said to you, didn't it, before the red card came, I said, I've got a feeling Basso was going to go here for some reason. And he went. FC United had 4 or 5 minutes to hang on, and unfortunately, right at the death, just before the whistle, there it was, the goal that came in at the back post. Nothing you could do. You can't blame anybody else. It's goodbye from us. We'll see you all again very, very soon. FC United and Manchester finish here at Broadhurst Park. It's FC United 3, surely 3. So keep it on fcum.co.uk radio. Until next week, bye-bye.
You did that like a pro, didn't you? Thanks, Swamper.
You're welcome, Ben.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Broadhurst Park. Emily Maguire's still with us. I said at half time, actually, there could be an Anfield situation here in the mid-90s where it finished 3-3, if you remember, between United and Liverpool, and both teams had storming halves of football.
Yeah,
and
it was a concern, a concern in the back of my mind. I was hoping that the first half performance from FC was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely every single player on that pitch that first half, the way that they performed and worked together. And we went in at half time, and I just thought, all we need to do, we just need to keep going with that. And just, but it's one of them, surely where they are because of the changes that they made and their ability to bring themselves back into a game like that. That just proves the difference in where they are, and they've got back in, and FC didn't really have an answer to the changes that they made in that second half.
No, you're right. I think that will be the disappointing thing, because we've seen two sides of FC this afternoon. We've seen an FC team that have exploited Chorley with a different formation, playing Teague at a higher position. And FC United have put him to the sword in the first 45 minutes, playing, for me, some of the best football they've played. It was enjoyable to watch. It was unpredictable in the fact that, they were doing things with the ball that don't ordinarily do. They were working as a unit. They all looked in tune with each other. They knew exactly what each other's role were, and were absolutely in the ascendancy. Come out that second half, and then, to close off so quickly. A matter of 35, 40 seconds, you think, right, okay, we know FC have done that on a few occasions, but then we just didn't get back into the game, did we, at all, in the second half?
We just couldn't play ourselves back in.
It's momentum, isn't it? I mean, once you've got the wind at your backs, as they say, then...
The wind in your sails.
I asked you, as the wind was turning, they'd had made that change, and we were like rabbits in the headlights kind of thing in many ways. what could we do to change it? And
I think, I mean, within that, it's those things of we shouldn't be in the position, you know, being 3-0 up, we shouldn't be in a position where we are then suddenly on the back foot so drastically that we're looking right quickly, we need to make these changes. I think initially at the start of the second half, they came out flying, that early goal, you know, scoring that.
30 seconds in?
Yeah, about 30 seconds.
That's when it first starts, and then it demands someone on the pitch who's there already to just turn around to the rest of them and say, right.
I mean, one of the things we kept doing, and it's probably the right thing to do, trying to take the sting out of it in a way, there was a lot of kidology aspects to it that FC were trying, a couple of, like Lowe with his head injury down here and Basso trying to keep the ball, but Charlie weren't having it, were they?
No, because they matched them with other things. You know, they got into their heads. You know, you look at the two forward players of Carver and Samson. They were taking it in turns to just go and batter Kay.
Yeah.
You know, they were digging. You know, having little digs at him on and off the ball,
and that was obviously talked about in the dressing room, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it unsettled them, and that's what it did. You know, it unsettled the back four of FC then, who looked so confident that first half. And those sort of things that are happening, that's why I was saying we don't need to get ourselves involved in that. You know, we were in control of that game from the first half performance.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, I think you're right. The second half performance for me is an FC performance for a lot of this season, isn't it? It's been up and down. We can't get our foot on the ball. We can't, you know, get to grips with the second half of the game. Yes, I do believe if Basso stayed on the pitch, then it would have finished 3-2, and we would have been talking about a result.
Because that third goal, I think it was a good header.
It was a great header. He placed it quite far in the corner, but I think that the goalkeeper would have come. A goalkeeper would come out and claim that. I think it was right, you know, on the 6-yard box. It was at a height that would have been comfortable for a goalkeeper, and the difference was you've got Sam Sheridan not knowing and not being able to come, and so he's stuck on his line, so it's left the goal open.
What we would have been doing is we've been talking about a fantastic first 45 minutes and a very ropey second half, but we've got the 3 points and it's all about work rate and hard work.
It came,
and unfortunately we're not doing that. We're now talking about a draw rather than the 3 points.
It came a couple of minutes after a superb bit of play down here between Wilkinson and Glynn and Gilchrist. And we had that free kick, and they just got it clear. They just scrambled it clear, didn't they? And then a couple of minutes later, they get a free kick, and it's the last kick of the game. But
I think all told, for their performance in the second half, as much as they dominated, there wasn't a great deal of quality in it.
No.
They played to their strengths. So they always play long ball if needs be.
Strong.
Get strong, get into your work, and that's what they did in the second half. They couldn't compete in the first half with FC. FC United did to them what we did to them, what they normally do to us, but we did it in football, with panache and with quality, and with a lot of movement and a lot of this is the FC way. That's the best performance I've seen FC all season, because the way they were playing.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've always had. I think FC have always had that strong football mentality of, you know, that's what we do best, get the ball down on the ground, let's pass it around, let's play with it. But, you know, we come across other teams, and surely the second half, they knew, and their tactic was to be strong and be tough and
try and boss us and every way.
And that's the area that we need to be a little bit smarter with.
So we bossed them in the first half with football. We bossed them, we put them under pressure. They were under pressure themselves. They were putting themselves under pressure by actually being wary of where we were with the ball or without the ball. And they put the pressure on themselves in regards to FC United creating space and doing the things that we did very, very well. We just didn't get going in the second half. It was disappointing, and we haven't got beat. That's the first and foremost. We have to remember. It feels like a defeat.
Always does.
And also that was going to be my next question. Obviously, coming back here to Broadhurst Park again, I don't like it's a good
17th.
Stat. The November the 19th.
Was it 19th?
That's a league game, though.
We
go to Edgeley Park on Saturday. Wow, I mean, I mean, the last time we went there was epic, wasn't it? But what do you reckon for this one?
I think you're going to get pretty much something similar. I think you're going to get FC playing football, Salford, Stockport playing football. Stockport were here today, looking at the game. A number of their scouts were looking at the game. They'll confuse them that. That'll confuse every scout in the land going, well, hold on a second, first I look at that and then what, eh? But that's the nature of football, isn't it? You know, and Chorley, you give credit to Chorley for their second half performance. They've done what they normally would have started off to do, and that's how they've beaten teams this season. You know, 9 goals in 2 games. Is it 6 or 12? Yeah, 9 goals, isn't it? In 2 games. And
the 10th sending off in this fixture.
And the 10th sending off in this fixture, yeah. I mean, I'll be interested to see that in
yes, I would.
Again, from the television
from
perspective.
From this angle, it didn't look like Basso had actually touched him.
No.
I thought when the player came in, I think Basso felt that the player had gone in with his foot late.
Which he had.
He was punching his foot. He was punching his foot away. Get away like that. There was no fist in the face or anything like that. The assistant... He's the best place to see. He flagged straight away.
He flagged straight away.
But he'd again, there's a melee of players there. I think that on this side we saw it probably as well as the assistant.
Yeah, for
the far
me
side.
It looked like he'd kicked out and he was just putting. You know, he was pushing him away. Not much in it.
But you see, the problem with that as well. We've got another goalkeeper, which is we're thankful for and a very good one in Dave Carnell. But that's classed as violent conduct. So that's a 3-match ban straight away. Automatic 3-match ban. But, you know, look, Carl is one of the... One thing Carl does tremendously well is Carl takes the positives out of every game. And he'll take so many positives out of that first 45 minutes. He'll take the positives to a degree, even 3-2, while we're winning 3-2. The lads were still battling, they were working hard, they were trying to close down. And he'll take the positives out of that. And we can take the positives of saying we've seen probably the best 45 minutes of FC. This season, the way they were playing, and considering the first 10 minutes or the first 8 minutes, we thought, blimey heck, Chorley are playing that game, the ball over the top with purpose as always. But at the same time, we came out, and then after that, we were absolutely outstanding. So, you know, Stockport next week, we like the big teams, you know, Edgeley Park, huge scalp if we can do something there. I'd be happy with just a result, you know, just leaving with something, you know, probably us intact as human beings.
Yeah. And speaking of leaving with something, I would like to leave with my feeling in my feet returning. So I'm going to go back inside now because it is cold. But thank you, dear listener, for joining us. We'll be back on Saturday for that match at Edgeley Park for FC United's trip to Stockport County. Big thank you to Emily. Big thank you to Swampert and Stephen Wood and Paul Hinson at half time as well. But from everyone here, farewell.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Don't know who I'm waving to.
Swampy, Emily and Ben there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
So, Carl, a lot of people are going to use this cliche, but it's very, very true. A game of 2 halves, certainly.
I was just thinking of myself. Yeah. You know, we said at half time that the 10 minutes just after half time, you know, you're taking a 3-0 lead, they were obviously going to change things. And we didn't adapt in the way that we should have. We got the messages on, but we found it hard to get out. You know, credit to Chorley, they changed the formation and also the way that they played, and they were pumping things onto us, and we were finding it difficult to get up the pitch. And.
Credit where credit's due.
Credit.
The first half.
They're not third in the league or fourth in the league for no other reason than...
And I can't remember the stat, but I think we've scored a lot more goals against them over the two fixtures than anyone else this season.
2-3-all draws.
Yes.
2-3-all draws. Totally different 2-3-all draws. But, it shows where we're at. And credit to our lads as well, you know, that's...
Well, the first half, I think, was the best first half performance we put in for a while.
Yeah, excellent. And, you know, we wanted to carry that on into the second half. But like you say, they're not third in the league for a reason. The reason is because of the decent side, and they changed the tactics and the formation, and we found it difficult to get out. But you know, it's when it's a last minute equaliser, it's gut wrenching.
Just a quick mention for the sending off. It's hard because obviously the linesman's got a view of it. We've got a view of it from our view up here. It didn't look like Basso connected with anyone.
Didn't connect with anyone. Didn't. When I went over to the referee, I said to the linesman, "What?" He said, "He's punched him in the face." I said, "No, he hasn't," because I've watched it, like you've watched it, and everybody else in the ground. And then he said, "Well, he had a clenched fist," and it's like, so he was just honestly. Very, very frustrating.
The third goal, the cross into the box, a goalkeeper would have come out and punched it.
Yeah,
but
if he's on the pitch, that goal doesn't happen because he don't just pump it in. But
and it comes a minute or so after anybody, our chance. But,
you know, I feel for Adriano because anybody who knows him knows that he's a great kid.
He's been cracking over the last ten games.
Fantastic goalkeeper, but more so a nice person, a really nice person. You know, he's.
I blame myself. We were going to invite him on for a post-match interview because, like you say, he has been great, but. The other thing to say as well is that this fixture just seems to attract red cards. I mean, that's the 10th sending off in the history of that fixture. There you go, Stat Central round here. We move on then to the weekend's fixture against Stockport. What are you expecting?
A really tough game. They're flying at the minute. You know, Jim Gannon's got them playing some good football. So, but it'll be a great occasion again like it was last year, I'm sure. Our Reds will turn out in force for us and... We'll try and put on the kind of performance that'll make him proud.
Well, thanks for joining us, Carl, and commiserations, Dave.
Cheers,
thanks,
Ben.
Carl Margeson there following that 3-3 draw with Chorley from Saturday afternoon. Also after the match, Chorley FC match reporter Josh Vosper spoke to Chorley's manager, Matt Jansen.
A tale of two halves, Matt, against FC United today, drawing 3-3.
Yeah, disappointing first half from our perspective, our point of view. Maybe that slightly was my fault. The pitch was great. I wanted to play football. I always want to play football, get out from the back and play and cause them problems. It didn't work. We were causing our own problems, really. Mislaid passes, overplaying at times, even when we were in threatening positions, corners, and they weren't of great quality and they were breaking on us. And the first two goals were very sloppy. You've got to hold your hands up for the third goal. It was a great strike and that can happen, but the first two were especially disappointing, and going in 3-0 down. There were some harsh words said at half time.
So changes needed to be made, and you made them.
Yeah, no, with no pointing the finger at anybody because they were all poor. We changed the system. We went to four and played three up top and three in the midfield. Put Robbie McDade, who was fantastic when he came on, and I says, You get a goal, they'll start worrying. And we got one early, which was great for us. And, it was all one-way traffic after that. And all credit to the boys. I mean, I said to them, they've got to be mentally strong for these last 15 games. They weren't in the first half, but in that second half, they showed me what they've been about all season. And I'm immensely proud of them.
Marcus Carver got the goal straight after the restart. Was that the ideal opportunity to kick on and cause problems?
Well, that's what we did. And we were in their faces. I just said we're going to be a little bit more direct. We're going to be a little bit more physical. We're going to be in their faces and play that way. And it worked for us in the second half. And I says each and every one of you has to stand up and show how mentally tough you are. How strong are you? How strong are you in the second half? First half's gone now. It wasn't good enough. Second half, how strong are you? And they showed me how strong they were. They are a strong unit and they are a team. They were fantastic.
The talking point would be the red card from the goalkeeper. Did you see it was off the ball?
Well, I saw that it was throwing a punch. I didn't realise he'd blown for a foul. And if the ball's still in play, it's a penalty. But he said he'd blown for a foul. I think Josh had fouled the keeper first and then he'd lashed out the keeper, and if you throw a punch you're obviously going to get sent off. But in terms of balance of play, I think we deserve to get the draw at the end of the day after that performance in the second half. I'm overwhelmed with them.
Like I say, you put Roscoe on and ultimately the ball landed in the net. Didn't matter who got on top.
I think that they were all drawn to Roscoe because of his size and his presence. We put him on, throwing him up top, caused problems. They all got drawn towards Roscoe and it left somebody free at the far post and nodded it in, and you know, like I say, it was fantastic. But what they deserved, I mean, they showed such character. First half it was disappointing and we were all disappointed, but to come back from 3-0 down away from home at FC United and draw 3-3, and results have gone for us, a lot of results have gone for us, so we could have pulled away a little bit. But having said that, 3-0 down, poor first half, outstanding second half.
Chorley manager Matt Jansen there, and a big thank you to Chorley for that clip. To find out now where that draw leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from the National League North on Saturday, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willards for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thanks, Cockers, and hello one and all, and welcome to this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. and that result for FC sees the Reds go up a place to 12th. However, the gap to the relegation places is now just 6 points. Nothing to see here though. Move along. It'll be fine. AFC Fylde's lead at the top of the table was cut to 7 points after the Coasters were held to a 1-1 draw by relegation-threatened AFC Telford United at Mill Farm on Saturday. Second-placed Kidderminster Harriers pulled 2 points back on the leaders with 2 games in hand, but had to survive a late scare to take the points against Curzon Ashton 3-2. Third-placed Salford City, they slipped up, losing also by 3-2 at Wadden Road against 10th-placed Gloucester. Chorley are fourth, and while Halifax Town moved into fifth spot, a point behind Chorley, and level on points with Stockport County, who were held to a 1-1 draw at Alfreton Town. Tamworth moved to within a point of the playoffs thanks to a 2-1 win at the Lamb against Brackley Town, who are now 11th, while managerless Gainsborough Trinity fell to a heavy 5-1 defeat at the Horsemall Stadium to third bottom Bradford Park Avenue. And finally, it finished Harrogate Town 3, Worcester City 0. Nothing more to say on that one. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. Go in peace to love and serve your football club. Cheerio.
Thanks, Marv. The Reds return to action this weekend with a mammoth local derby as FC United travel south to take on Stockport County at Edgeley Park. This match is an all-ticket game with tickets now available on general sale. Supporters can order tickets online by phoning 01617 69 2005 or in person from Broadhurst Park. Kick-off at Edgeley Park will be at 3 p.m. But as always, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FC UM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.